Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of For Whom the Bell Tolls with Eric Bell. I am Eric Bell, your host, and tonight I'll be talking with Sean Ha, who is a U.S. Senate candidate from the seat in North Carolina, and also we'll be talking with Lee Wrights, who came in second behind Gary Johnson in the 2012 presidential nominee for the Libertarian nomination, and I will hopefully be talking with Cindy Lake in the last 30 minutes about the Bundy situation. So, yeah. Hey, Sean, how are you doing?
Howdy. Good, thanks.
Welcome.
Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, sir. So welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm sitting here at, we have the Durham, North Carolina County Libertarian meeting every week here at Satisfaction's Restaurant. It usually starts about 6:30, so I just figured I'd go ahead and come out early and get started.
Oh, awesome.
So that's where I am right now. Yeah.
Awesome. Speaking of which, a quick plug, I am actually starting a local chapter for a Libertarian Party here in Lowndes County, Georgia. And the
awesome.
First meeting is going to be on May 7th at Mongo's Mongolian Steakhouse for anyone that in the Lowndes County area or that wishes to travel. I'm sure you can come too if you want. But anyone willing to anyone that's in the Lowndes County area or willing to travel, please come out. It'll be at 7:00. But anyway, let's get into it. So what's reason why you said you are running is mainly a more of a conscious vote or anything, because to your knowledge,
yeah.
But before your opponent in the Libertarian run, before you didn't know your fellow candidate in the Libertarian Party was going to run, and to your knowledge there was really no one that had the voice of reason that was present in the race.
I was very happily retired from politics. You know, I've run for the Senate seat before in 2002, and I've been very active in the Libertarian Party from about 1994 here in North Carolina, or even before then. But you know, continuously here in North Carolina from then until about 2010. And by around 2010, I just got really disgusted with all the politics and really hadn't paid much attention to it. But this election came around, and apparently the Libertarian Party here in North Carolina really didn't have anybody to run for U.S. Senate. And I met with some party leaders a week or two into filing. And, they really didn't have anybody. So I figured, well, if anybody is going to carry the Libertarian message at the top of the ticket this year, it's going to be down to me, really. So, yeah, I really just did it because I don't want to walk into the voting booth in November and just look at the Democrat and Republican. And, you know, I couldn't vote for either of them. And we have this opportunity. We have to have a strong Libertarian voice in the race. And so I figured if they're going to drag me back out of retirement for this, then I'm going to have some fun with it. You know, I'm just going to do, you know, what you're going to get is just me. Unfiltered. I'm going to try not to swear. You know, I promised our political director I wouldn't call anybody stupid. I've already failed once at that on the campaign trail. But there's just a lot of things that need to be said that aren't being said about war and about how we're just spending more money than we have. You know, and people are really ready for a Libertarian message. So, you know, I'm kind of looking for the opportunity to get it out there. And now, what's different between now and 2002 is YouTube. You know, all the technology that I have to get a message out very inexpensively that I just didn't have 12 years ago. So this is really my opportunity to sort of give my political testament. Now I'm looking forward to it. I didn't know that Tim was going to file. I've told him. You know, if we don't have anybody, then I promise you in the last 48 hours, somebody is going to file that will not represent us well. And then we're going to be spending all summer and fall and probably beyond that, you know, trying to say, oh, no, we don't believe what this guy is saying. You know, this has nothing to do with libertarianism. And sure enough, you know, Tim came along and filed. So now we have a primary.
That's a very good, yeah, I was going to get into that. Of course, a little bit. I know you seem like a guy that doesn't want to, of course, in the primary, that doesn't want to carry yourself negatively or engage in or sling your opponent in the mud, so to speak. But I think.
No.
But he has mentioned things that are worth.
Personally.
Sorry, go ahead.
Hmm?
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I missed that part. No. Oh, I'm sorry to talk over you there. I mean, I like him personally. I had encountered him before. He's a Republican. He's run three times before as a Republican for Congress. And, you know, he's sort of presents himself as a Christian conservative constitutionalist type. And there's room for that in the Libertarian Party, certainly. He's very strong on the, you know, bread and butter tax and spend issues. So I want to welcome people like him into the Libertarian Party. But, you know, we had our forum, and we're going to have another one. We have a forum coming up in Asheville on the Sunday, the 27th, that you can watch live on the Libertarian Party of North Carolina YouTube channel. And you'll see there are some differences between he and I. Certainly about the, you know, immigration, abortion, a lot of the social issues. You know, so that's pretty much determined what my next four videos are going to be about. You know, gay marriage is definitely going to be the next video.
Yeah, well, it comes to, I don't know, like I said, but I know it seems like he at this. I mean, watch your forum that you spoke with, which a very, very spirited debate. Which it seems that, like, and I watch, of course, a lot of his views, it seems like he, at best, that he is a convert to a libertarian philosophy, whereas you are a rookie, or not a rookie, like a seasoned veteran in that.
Yeah.
And that's, which good. Which,
well,
sorry, go ahead.
You know, I've been doing this for a long time, and while I'm going to do this my way, I mean, you watch my videos on YouTube. And you'll see that there are things that I talk about in there that aren't, that are more about culture, and that really aren't even necessarily libertarian per se, like the stuff I have to say about culture war. But yeah, I've been in the Libertarian Party long enough that there's really nothing in the state or national platforms that I have any kind of problem with. I'm very familiar with it. I mean, that's one thing that Tim did say in our forum was that he wasn't familiar with the National Libertarian Party platform. Yeah, I think you kind of should be. If you're, you know, if you're wanting to represent the party. And I was listening to him in the forum, and I was totally fine. I was starting to listen to him and think, you know, he's like, he wouldn't be so bad. You know, if he ends up beating me in the primary, he probably wouldn't be so bad. And then he came out with the stuff about supporting Greg Brannon, Republican candidate in the race. So that just, like, blew everybody's mind, unfortunately. So, you know, this is why. Like I said, I like Tim. I want to welcome Tim to the party. I'm certainly going to be cordial to him in debate. You know, I could just, not only do I really abhor negative campaigning, and it just feeds into culture war. I don't want to be at war with Tim or with anybody. And I want to take advantage of this. You know, anybody who feels at all libertarian, I want to encourage them to be libertarian. I just don't want anybody to come over to the Libertarian Party and say we ought to be Republican to try to get some liberty, because I know that's not going to work. You know, tried that. Doesn't work. You have to keep falling for it.
Oh yeah, I was the county coordinator for Ron Paul's campaign in 2012 here in Lowndes County, and of course I made it for the county. I was a delegate in the county convention district and all the way to states, And then, I did most of that process again, trying to really take over the Republican Party. And yeah, it's not really, to me, I don't see it as a very good, as a worthwhile effort of doing that. And but yeah, since you did mention Greg Brannon, I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought real quick on that.
Oh no, that's okay. I've done that. I've done it too. You know, I have to be kind to people who are trying this, because, you know, I think a lot of us have been there and found out firsthand why it doesn't work. You know, why the Republican Party will always be for more war and more debt, no matter what Ron Paul does or any other libertarian-minded Republicans might do. They're still Republicans, unfortunately. And I don't ever want to be beholden to that. I don't know that Greg Brannon can win the Republican primary here, but if he does, I would sure love a piece of him. Because then we can turn the, if it's me and Greg Brannon and Kay Hagan as the final three, well, we'll just have a lot of fun with that, because then the debate will be about who's the real libertarian in the room. And
that's what I love so much about that, Tim said, well, he would endorse him. Well, I feel a little weird getting so informal. How do you pronounce his last name? D'Annunzio?
D'Annunzio, I believe.
D'Annunzio.
I believe it's D'Annunzio. Yeah. I'm trying to get through the campaign without pronouncing or spelling his last name for people. My name is Sean Haw. You know, I want to talk about me. You know, my name is difficult enough. That's S-E-A-N-H-A-U-G-H. And, you know, really, I'm just trying to focus on getting libertarian and unaffiliated voters to come out on May 6th and vote for me.
Which, you know, we got, of course, we're talking about Greg Brannon, who I don't know incredibly a lot about him, I'm sure, but I do, but the few videos I've seen of the few interviews, it seems like he is, his basic thing is, well, if you're looking for a, someone that would be Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee's new best friend in the Senate, then, well, he would be your guy, or at least that's how he's marketing himself. And,
yeah.
He's
one of those Christian constitutionalists, which has a lot in common with libertarians. Like, you know, if I got into the Senate, I would be able to work with these guys on a lot of issues, certainly. But one thing that really troubles me about Greg Brannon, and this is why gay marriage has to be my next video, is because you look at his website and he's still pitching for DOMA. You know, he still thinks that there's a federal role in defining marriage according to the Christian way. Yeah, and that kind of thing is really deeply disturbing to me, and I think that it needs to be pointed out that, you know, he can say he's libertarian. I mean, I think it's wonderful that libertarian has such cachet now that people who aren't really libertarian are trying to get on the bandwagon. You know, so I would really love an opportunity to show people just how close Greg Brannon is to actually being libertarian.
And of course, you know, I think, and I liked your response to it. Of course, when DeMunzian said you would support him if he got the nomination, and that you wouldn't want to spoil it for it. And of course, like your very classic, you know, argument why you won't even have the spoiler argument. And you definitely say, I would definitely, if anything, it'll be a very good opportunity to make this campaign about, you know, libertarianism. And that would be,
either way, if I can win the primary, then I'm feeling pretty good about it. It's funny because I entered into this, you know, what I said in the first video is totally sincere, that I'm going to vote for me. My wife told me she's going to vote for me. I really hardly give a crap if anybody else does. You know, I'm doing this for my own reasons, just so I can have a voice in this race. And if people want to vote for me, well, go right ahead. You know, that's exactly my attitude about it. But I found I've gotten a little bit attached to winning the primary.
Right.
And the way I look at it is the Libertarian Party.
Hello? One moment. Stand by. I don't know if you can hear what it looks like. Please stand by real quickly. Oh, there he is, right here.
Sorry about that. Apparently, I dropped the call.
Was that on your end? Okay.
I'm not sure, but I got the nice robotic voice telling me that I was no longer talking to you. So I'm not sure where I dropped, but that's okay. Just go ahead.
That's okay. We got to figure out right now. So yeah, as you were saying about conscious vote, and of course, if anyone wants to vote for you, they can go ahead. But
by the way, Lee Wright, if you're listening, I understand you got. I mean, Lee, I was stunned when I found out that Lee Wright's is following me up, that I'm the opening act for him, which I guess is appropriate because, you know, he's had a lot of influence on me and on this campaign. So, Lee, if you're listening to me already, just go ahead and call on in and join this, you know, because we need to get started. Lee and I have been talking about doing our own podcast. And yeah, I've been on Blog. I had something going on Blog Talk Radio before, so... yeah, I mean, if you've been following what Lee Wright's been doing in there in Texas, particularly with the attempt at a Republican takeover there, basically, and frankly, I have to wonder what's behind Tim. To be perfectly honest, you know, if this is a tactic of the Brandon campaign to try to neutralize the Libertarian vote, well, you know, that's kind of sharp on their part. I don't know that I necessarily go for a conspiracy theory, but the thing that strikes me about Tim, I like the guy personally. It seems kind of odd, like he has no real passion for, if you watch the debate that we had, it seems like, you know, clearly, neither of us expect to be able to file. But I'm the only one campaigning right now, and it just strikes me as odd as to why that is.
That is, well, that's interesting. And I will, and I don't know, I guess for right now, I think one thing we're worried about, it looks like anyone that would want to vote for Tim would automatically, I think they would take his advice and probably vote for Greg Brennan. That's just... the way I look at it.
Well, that's the thing. The Republican primary here is very tight. So if there's any credence to that conspiracy theory hypothesis, then there's probably not going to be a lot of get out the vote for material support for Tim.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, I don't really have the resources to do polling. I'm trying not to spend money on this. I really feel like, and one of the reasons why I got disgusted with politics, electoral politics, back in 2010 is because it's such an incredible waste of money. I mean, both Obama and Romney spent over $1 billion each last time to try to be president. I would love to see that money stay in more productive parts of the economy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, than trying to get people elected to office. I'm really hoping that if I win the primary, I probably will not be able to do this. I've already raised $2,100. I need to raise maybe another $500 or $600 to finish the primary season with no debt. But my goal originally was to stay under the $5,000 threshold to have to report to the FEC. I'll probably will end up spending a little bit more money, especially since beer is a campaign expense. That was a real nice realization. I was getting beer for the videos, and they were like, oh, yes, I can expense this. So there are a lot of advantages to running for office.
Well, okay. Well, yes, since you mentioned Lee Wrights, and I made sure to try to get a hold of him because, well, your message that you're running is very similar to the one that he ran for president in 2012, which is very there's a very elegance in the simplicity of it, which is stop all war. And of course, it is very much.
I've stolen a lot of lines for him and from Thomas Hill, both and from Harry Ruard. Lee and I served together on the LNC back 12 years ago, and so we've known each other for a long time, and I've been following what he's been putting out very closely, and like I said, it's a real inspiration to me, and I'm really glad to see that there's this, and it's not just coming from Lee or myself, too, but from a lot of different sources. So spontaneously, there's this very strong anti-war and pro-social tolerance libertarian message that's coming out. It worries me so much that we've just gotten so used to war. You know, it just becomes like this fabric of our daily lives that we've completely taken for granted. And I think that there's a whole lot of people out there that are sort of thinking, I wish somebody would talk about this. And when people like Lee or myself get up and start talking about it, the response that we get, it tells me a whole lot. That, you know, this is a message people, you know, this being underrepresented in political discourse that people really want to hear. And I'm really hoping that if more people talk about the effects and the costs of war on our society as well as internationally.
Right.
Just as Ron Paul did. You know, I think that it's, I see that momentum building. And so it's fun to be a part of that. I hope I can do a little more of that.
When I first saw your YouTube video, which was your most serious one, though, when he first was mentioned of, and of course, in a very big sense of urgency to me when you mentioned that we have a generation that is coming up that has known nothing but war, and all that's come up with that are coming to a voting age, and besides the fact that that is just very sad. In that, you know, which everything that war is, what impact that would actually bring upon that, and I'm not an expert on what Stefan Molyneux says about peaceful parenting and all that environment with that, but I think that is which we can definitely have a culture that is really centered on of war and what that brings upon for. On society.
Oh, I know, and
the
war mentality has just really infected everything. It comes out in culture war, we're at war with each other, you know, we've got the war on drugs, you know, people like to talk about, like to cast all these different political issues as war. If you see my, sir? Yeah, okay, thanks. Thanks. Sorry, I had to order another beer. People like to talk about the abortion issue as the war on the preborn, and people like to talk about, you know, this coal ash spill in Eden as the war on the environment and the war on women. And, you know, it's like people are just in this war mentality. One thing I've noticed, too, you know, I deliver pizza for a living now. I really sort of like rejected everything about politics and everything about my past life and career, really, and sort of got down to basics once I got a car that could handle it. I started delivering pizza, and I really enjoy it because it keeps me in contact with all different kinds of people from all walks of life, and I'm delivering joy to them all the time, and it's a very simple job that pays reasonably well. So, you know, it's just joy and simple, honest work and delivering that joy to people. But I've noticed that people more and more tell me, when I leave, be safe. You know, that's their parting greeting. Not, you know, I usually say have fun or, you know, take care or something. But, you know, people are more and more just concerned about my safety. You know, it's just, it's sort of a paranoid culture that we're developing where we worry about, just like the drones that hover overhead in places like Pakistan or Yemen all the time, that cause a very real fear in the minds of all people, including children. We're sort of doing that to ourselves, too. We're always living in fear of the next attack. It reminds me of in the 80s, under Ronald Reagan, when we all went to bed at night with the fear that, you know, a flock of geese could trigger World War III and we could all be blown up before we wake up. You know, anybody who's my age remembers that. It's just like this constant fear of we could blow up the entire world at any moment, and there's nothing we could do about it. And we're there again. You know, I mean, there's just going to be such tremendous spiritual or psychic relief to our culture if we can stop this state of constant war. Not to mention the money that we'd save on it and the lives that we'd save. And getting back to being, having good relations with the rest of the world instead of being a thuggish empire. There are so many benefits to stopping all war. So, yeah, well, I really couldn't get through that video without crying. It was weird. I couldn't. I spent like 4 days on a crying jag, and I'm not used to it because I was writing the video, practicing the video. I got through one take without crying, and it was really flat. The video that we ended up putting up was the one time I could get through it on film without completely breaking down before the end. Because, you know, like I said, I can't take these things for granted. I can't take this whole generation that we're raising around the world of fear and hatred. Something's got to change soon.
I'm
sorry.
I would say so, because that is, I mean, that does make me nervous, the fact that, you know, they'll be voting soon, and what in the policies that they would vote for. I mean, they'll be actually, look at it, by the time they reach 18 and they'll be probably voting, they'll most likely be voting their first presidential election, more than anything else would be about 2020. So that's 6 short years before that. And I would definitely say if any of our resources are for outreach, that should be, and I probably will. And of course I mentioned that for the Georgia, for the chairman of the Georgia Libertarian Party, of course, well, I'm going to be asking this to, Lee Wright, since he's the vice chair of the national parties. Well, what can we really do about for reaching them, for those that are, 14 and younger, because that can have some serious repercussions if that just goes ignored.
Oh, yeah. Well, and one of the beautiful things, too, that I really see happening, we talked about this a little bit via email before the show, is that to me, the real action is outside the Libertarian Party. And I don't want to cast aspersions on the Libertarian Party at all. I'm certainly happy to be representing them, representing the party in the Senate election. But to me, you know, this is a platform to talk about ideas and talk about issues. And and I talk about it some in my videos, and I'll be talking about it more on the campaign trail, is that there are plenty of other ways for people to change public policy and to have their voice be heard. And you see groups like Students for Liberty, and you see a lot of other organizations that where young people are getting really active, and you see a lot of the people that I really enjoy reading online now, blogs and whatnot, are a lot of people who come from, Institute for Humane Studies programs and SSL, who are really putting out a very humanitarian brand of libertarianism that really, I think this really connects with young people, because you're going to have that sort of blowback, to borrow that term from Ron Paul. You're going to have a lot of people, a lot of young people growing up now, who are going to look around at the world and say, I deserve more than this. I deserve more freedom than this. I deserve more prosperity than this. I deserve more opportunity than this. And it's up to me to go out and make that for myself. And so, of course, the ideas of liberty are going to be really relevant to people. So it's an exciting time to see that youthful energy come in and see it be very self-oriented. Because that's how we're going to get liberty, is for people to get up and say, I'm going to go out and get it for myself. And people are going to find all kinds of new and creative ways to do it that are going to be a benefit to everybody in the world.
Okay.
So I hope that, so I think that the message I'm going to be putting out is going to appeal a lot to the politically homeless who are looking around, wanting to be involved in politics, or having a political voice, and not being satisfied with anything that the Republicans and Democrats are offering them.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. All right. And one thing I'll get for listeners, of course, if you participate in the chat room, whoever you might in the of course I will ask them any questions for them. I'll try my best to get to them. Of course, we're having a very good conversation. And if you do participate, you might win some Bitcoin also, or lottery. So, all right, be right back.
Hi, I have a question for you. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Do you want a company that provides good quality ingredients and does not use artificial sweeteners? Look no further. Genesis Pure has a complete lineup of health and wellness, sports performance, and superfruit juices like Noni and Mangosteen that are pure, wild harvested with no binders and fillers. The philosophy is simple. Cleanse the body of toxins, balance the body's pH and hormones, and build the body nutritionally. Every race has a starting line, and yours is Cleanse, Balance, Build. Sign up for at least a 25% discount and include auto ship of at least one product to start building up 20% back in points for free products. It's a win-win. Help fund our operation while you fund your body nutritionally. Start your journey at genesispure.com/freedomizerhealth. Again, that is genesispure.com/freedomizerhealth.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com. But wait.
There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. libertystickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm joined with my guest, Sean Ha. He's running for the Libertarian nominations for the U.S. Senate seats in North Carolina. Again, I will gladly take your questions in the chat room. And, of course, and the number to call in if you have any questions for him is 347-324-3704. Welcome back, Sean.
Good to be back. Thank you.
Okay.
Glad to hear you have commercial sponsorship.
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Okay. Well, and of course, we're going to go ahead and come back to your message of stopping all war. And, of course, you don't mean all war. I mean, also the physical wars that we do think in Afghanistan or this war on terror, and it's, you know, the other, you know, that we actually do see the invisible violence, but you mean, of course, the war on poverty, war on drugs, and it seems like every new program, it's always mentioned we have a war on this. I mean, of course, like Michelle Obama's war on obesity and all this other stuff, and of course, to connect it with the actual philosophy, which you have messaged through via email, that of course you noticed through my Facebook page that I am more of a, and of course that I'm very, that much of a voluntarist aspect of libertarianism. And of course, you said that you're getting rather close to it every day. And of course, we can mainly talk about that.
It's kind of hard for me to call myself an anarchist when I'm running for public office.
Well,
that's
actually,
where I am.
not necessarily. I mean, Adam Kokesh says he's going to run for president in 2020 on the platform of abolishing the federal government peacefully. So, you know, but good for him. I actually might consider running for Senate in 2020. But FYI.
Well, I mean, just to give you one example of how we libertarians have been right all along, and society or politics is starting to come our way, is like Bitcoin, cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually able to say, you watched the forum, I was actually able to say in the forum, free market and currency, and not sound crazy.
Nice.
You know, it was like that. We've been talking about this all along, and now it's becoming a reality. And another issue that struck me that's being talked about recently, both at in Colorado and at the federal level. They're starting to put trial balloons about releasing nonviolent drug offenders from prison and expunging their records. This is something that's been in the Libertarian Party platform from the beginning. And now they're talking about this seriously. But, you know, stopping physical war, getting back to what you were saying, is the beginning.
Okay.
You know, if we can stop being at war with so many people around the world, and we can stop all of the spending all the money that we're spending on war, too, that is going to take away a lot of the foundation for this culture war and the kind of mental war, or our minds being mired in this state of war. You know, really, there's just no political solution that starts with people who disagree with you dropping dead. You know, we all have to live together in this country, and we have to, we have to reason with each other. We have to at least accept the fact that we're going to live together. And we don't have to agree with each other. But the one thing that I say in my Stop Culture War video is if I could change one thing about political discourse, it would be to change, to get people to stop thinking in terms of good versus evil and start thinking in terms of right versus wrong. Because if somebody's wrong, well, you know, you can reason with them. You know, you can talk to them, and maybe they'll get right, and maybe they'll talk to you, and maybe you'll realize you were wrong somewhere, you'll get right, and you can have a civil conversation with people and move forward together. But, you know, if it's all war, it's good versus evil, well, then, you know, we just have to destroy evil and annihilate evil people and never question, really, whether what we're doing is good.
Well, the reason why we're in this, for these culture wars is because, well, if we understand that, you know, government all it really is force, by the way. And that's what was enacted by, yes, and that is, and I think with the invention of democracy that way. And of course, when we vote on how to, when every group votes on it, on how to use that force on 51% can gather and vote on how to apply their force of governments the way they see fit, and then what makes government itself is war, the way I view it as.
Absolutely. And that's something I've touched on that a little bit in the videos, and certainly in future videos, that's something I'm going to be talking about a lot, that government is violence. And that when you turn to government for a solution, you're asking for somebody to pull out the government gun and enforce your view on everybody else. This is one thing in the forum with Tim. This is one sort of difference that I thought really wasn't a difference, actually, when he was asked about gay marriage in particular, but also abortion, and I think there was one other issue in there. But he gave his opinion about homosexuality, which was, you know, not a pleasant view. But then he said that he didn't think there was a federal role in that. I said, well, okay, you know, I'm fine with that. As long as you're not going to pull out a government gun and try to enforce your view on me, you can believe whatever you want. That's fine. You know, and we can talk about that. We can have a rational conversation about that. But there are so many issues where people's first resort seems to be, let's pass a law, let's regulate this, let's get government involved, and let's put that force into this so we can set things however we want them to be. And it's gotten to the point now where everybody just assumes that government has a role in every single issue. And that's something I really want to talk about, is does government really have a role here? No.
Right.
No, maybe government should just shut up and let people sort this out on their own.
Mm-hmm. And I guess for my pro-life listeners, I guess I do have one quick question. I guess what you're listening to say that that you don't believe that the federal government has a role in abortion either way. Am I correct?
Well, no. No, here's the thing about abortion is that, and I'll end up making a video about this too.
Okay.
I completely bypass the moral aspect of it when talking about it politically, because if you have a moral problem with abortion, I'm not going to convince you of anything, and I'm not even going to try. I respect that, but just look at the practical aspect of it. It's that banning abortion is going to work as well as banning drugs or banning guns or banning alcohol or banning anything else. It's a commodity, no matter how you feel about it morally. If women are still going to try to get abortion. So, back when in the days of when Roe versus Wade was first passed and state laws were being changed to conform with it, abortion advocates use the term safe, legal, and rare. And I really like that conception of it, that it has to be legal for it to be safe. If it's not legal, women are just going to go to these back alley providers or take coat hangers for themselves, and it'll just be more death. not left out from that policy. I mean, this is a social issue. This is a great example of a social issue that has to be worked out by the people and can't be worked out by government. And to me, the solution is to give women better choices. Let's treat it as an economic issue and give women better options than having an abortion. Make adoption easier. Make birth control more readily available. And these are things that are market solutions, not government solutions, truly reduce the rate of abortion in this country.
Yes, it took me a while to come around to that position, but it does actually make sense. And that doesn't diminish your responsibility from pro-lifer, though, because it really should definitely would say you definitely need to work harder to provide these more. I mean, make it more. Probably at one point we'll probably have a whole episode, dedicated to abortion and whether, and probably and how that could, how a pro-life would actually the objectives can be achieved in a stateless society. Thought about that rather hard, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think we'll probably get into or really change anyone's mind just in this one interview. But so we'll move on. But I just wanted to get that clear that you are, that it is not a federal issue. Maybe the state's rights, as much as I hate to say that term, but.
Well, and there's, to me, again, this is just a great example of people thinking government has to come up with a solution. Another very similar example is gun violence. People do a lot of really horrific things with guns in this culture, and we get all outraged by it, as we should. And we want to change that. We want to have, this is something I'm going to be talking about on the campaign trail, is just reducing violence and people feeling the need for violence in our society. And, there's no magic wand. If you want to reduce gun violence, there's no magic wand that you can wave from government and say, this is going to, we'll just ban all guns now. We'll just ban this behavior and then it will go away. It's just not going to happen. The only way that we're going to be able to change is culturally. There's no legislative solution to it. We're actually going to have to grow as enlightened human beings to the point where we don't resort to violence to solve our problems. Okay. Let me throw in there, Seven. Thanks. I'm sorry. The meeting's going on without me. Sorry. One thing I'm going to have, this is one aspect where I'm going to have some fun with this, because I really came to libertarianism from sort of the civil rights, movement,
mm-hmm.
The left, and nonviolence and peace and those ideas. So I'm going to have a lot of, if people are worried about who I might draw from in the general election, it would be a lot like the Robert Sarver's campaign in Virginia last year, where the truth of the matter is I'll be running to the left of Kay Hagan rather than to the right of any Republican opponent.
Well, interesting term for that. Well, you mentioned I guess we'll probably be talking more about it because, of course, there is somewhat of a debate if you listen to libertarian thinkers, but I guess some of the Larkin Rose and the CRISPR Cantwells and all those. So you think that we can, that it is possible to, that we can achieve a free society, I guess, either by our definition of voluntarism or I guess by either your definition, I guess, close to it, by just peacefully by nonviolently? Do you?
Well, I see what we were talking about before with young people sort of taking care of their own needs.
Right.
Is that we're seeing this happening outside of government. that people are able to create, like with Bitcoin, a currency that's completely outside of government to take care of people's needs. And people are building their own communities to take care of those kinds of social needs that we'd normally look to government for. Now the government's completely failed us. One example of this that utterly fascinates me is Detroit. I've been to Detroit recently, and you look at it, and it is like this post-apocalyptic science fiction landscape made real. Or what was the name of the town in Atlas Shrugged? I forget. The abandoned industrial town.
Can't remember.
Somethingville. In any case,
yeah.
You know, Iran predicted Detroit. and yet, in the ashes of that, you know, you've got this whole, you know, government is still playing their game as if they're in control of Detroit, and they're not. You know, it's like, oh, Detroit's going bankrupt, and they're trying to all work this out between state and local governments. And meanwhile, you have people who are building their own systems. They've built a private police department, a private fire department, private bus transportation. You know, that people are incredibly resourceful when it comes to building social structures that fit their needs and serve all the people in their community. And if government is going to fail, well, people are just going to go out and do it on their own. And we're already seeing that happening. So this is just another way where I see sort of the irony of being a candidate for public office to be able to shed some more light, to be able to talk about these kinds of things and encourage people to find their own freedom rather than waiting for government to give it to them.
Okay. That is a very good point. And I would say definitely if – I guess once we're getting like a little bit close to the end of time right here, I would suggest right now, I like what I hear definitely very much. And like I said, as a volunteer, I don't always have a dogmatic stance against voting, but I would say right now, if I was in North Carolina, I would definitely vote for you. And I would say that any of the listeners in North Carolina probably should vote for him or don't vote at all, which is good, which is, you know, there are other things. If you have better alternatives, please do them. And I'm sure Sean Hall would be interested in those. And so,
you know, like I said, I've gotten a little attached to winning the primary. So libertarian, if you're registered to vote as either a libertarian or unaffiliated, as we call our independents here in North Carolina, then you're eligible to vote in the libertarian primary. Early voting starts Thursday, the day after tomorrow. The primary is on Tuesday, May 6th. And so, I really need, you know, anybody who cares about having a real libertarian in this race, I really hope that you'll tell all your friends and neighbors who are registered libertarian or unaffiliated to come out and vote for me.
That would be very interesting to see if you actually do end up winning the actual general election, which I'm sure sounds like that with watching your videos that you're really scared, that scares the hell out of you when that actually happens.
Oh, it does. This is one of the reasons why I retired from politics was because I was working in Washington, D.C. as political director for the National Libertarian Party for a little while. Now, I worked from home, but I visited the D.C. office every once in a while. And I actually ran into Chuck Schumer on the street in D.C. And it's like, I don't want to be in the city. I don't want to be in a place where I can run into Chuck Schumer on the street. You know, and then to think about the idea of actually having to work with these people and actually have to listen to them and not want to just scream and cry, you know. But fortunately, I have some help, you know. The lady who's making the videos for me, Rachel Mills, who's just doing a brilliant job. I mean, she's fantastic. Really, all I do is I write scripts and I read my lines. She does everything else. And she's done a fantastic job with these. But she was the communications director for the congressional office. of Ron Paul, not the campaign, but the actual congressional side, said she has 5 years of experience up there on the Hill, and she's already offered to be my chief of staff if I get elected, and I, which I immediately accepted because I'm going to need her help just to keep it sane if I actually do win this thing. And, I mean, who knows? Because YouTube and the Internet now is a tremendous equalizer. It will give me an opportunity to get a message out there and maybe get some traction if enough people watch the videos. And, you know, I have to, no matter what the odds are, it's like I said, I have to accept the fact that right now there are only 13 people who could possibly be the next senator from North Carolina, and I'm one of them. And if I win the primary, it'll be down to three, and I'll be one of those three. And at some point, I have to believe that people are going to just be sick of Democrat and Republican and vote for anything else, you know, especially if they know it's libertarian. But I know that by having a libertarian in that race, we're going to get a certain percentage of people who simply walk into the voting booth and see, oh, my word, I can actually vote for somebody other than these two clowns. I'm going to do that. I don't know who this guy is, but I'm voting for that guy. You know? So, who knows what could happen. But I have to be prepared for it. I'm certainly not going to go. And one thing that I really can't stand is a loser mentality among libertarian candidates, because I have an opportunity to put out a message and to help grow liberty in North Carolina and in this country. And so to me, I'm already winning. You know, and that's how I'm going to measure my success. If there are more people who are getting involved in creating their own liberty in November in North Carolina than there were now. And anybody who's been activated by my campaign or anything I have to say is, you know, that's where my success is going to be.
Yes. As I say, I certainly do hope those non-voting libertarians have coped with, I'd hope that they're at least being in contact with you, at least trying to be at least in contact, at least having a conversation. But North Carolina, that's where Mike Shanklin is, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Mike is not far from me. I've actually received some contributions from non-voters. A couple of people handed me money at the state convention and said, I'm not going to vote for you. But I can donate to your campaign. And I said, okay. I'm not going to, of course I want your vote, but I'm not going to, you know, part of being a libertarian is letting people make their own decisions and run their own lives and decide what their values are and how they want to express them. You know, that's just an essential aspect of being a libertarian. So any kind of support that people want to give me, I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. If they just share the video, they say, well, I don't like politics, but I like what you say, I'll share the video. You know, I'll talk about your ideas. That's it's all a plus. I mean, one thing that kind of disturbed me about the National Libertarian Party too is the focus on raising money, when there are a lot of people out there who are willing to give of themselves, you know, a time, effort that's not monetary. And that is just as valuable. You raise money, that's nice. How do you spend it? Does it really result in, you know, something that's going to increase liberty and increase the libertarian message? That people going out there and talking to their neighbors and actually doing something in their communities, that to me is really where the action is.
Yeah, I definitely do agree, and that's one of the, I think there is hope for actually for the, I do have hope in the libertarian wing of the Libertarian Party. It certainly seems like it has gone to opposition in a few years, but I do have hope, and that's why, of course, why I am officially, why I'm starting a local chapter in the Libertarian Party, and hopefully be able to make a voice in that, in that message. But anyway, they said that you have a very tight schedule with that. I'm going to go to a quick commercial, and hopefully you might have Lee Wrights. But before I do you have a website or anything you'd like to plug?
Well, I'm on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook page is Haugh for Senate with no spaces, HAUGHFOR Senate. And on Twitter, I'm at Emperor Sean, again, no space. I take that after Emperor Norton the First. I figure since Emperor Norton is no longer around and nobody else seemed to be using the title, I've declared myself Emperor of the United States, Emperor of Mexico. Yes. So add Emperor, and I'm happy to answer people's questions on Facebook or Twitter. I'll probably have a real website. if I win the primary, like I said, I'm trying to get through the primary without spending any more money. But
well, how can we donate more money if we had?
Oh, I think people will donate money if I win. Certainly.
Well, yeah.
And,
how can we donate now?
I'll
what way can
I'll
we?
I'll spring for the.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you can send checks right now to the name of my campaign committee. Is Duck Duck Goose.
Duck Duck Goose.
And my address is 915 Lancaster Street, Lancaster Street in Durham, North Carolina, 27701. And then on my Facebook page or my Twitter, I've got the bank account set up, so frankly I've been slack about setting up a credit card and Bitcoin donations. But I should be able to do that fairly soon. That's it on my Facebook and Twitter.
All right. Sounds good. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you, and I wish you very well on your campaign. And I have you again sometime. Of course, very
well.
But, good.
Well, thanks. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I'd be happy to be on again.
All right. Well, you have a good day, sir.
Well, thanks. You too. And give my best to Lee.
All right. Will do.
All right.
Bye.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, a political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
Lots of problems with Common Core. I don't even have time to go into most of them. But a step in the right direction would be to give local communities, teachers, parents control over their schools so they can design curriculums and standards to best meet the needs of their students and get the federal government out of education.
I'm Angie Morelli, and I'm with GMO Free Vegas. So what are we going to do about this now? Well, to begin with, we advocate the labeling of genetically engineered food, or foods with GMOs. Regardless of how you feel about the GMO issue, we can agree that we should at least have a choice of being informed about what we put into our bodies. We won't have a choice until these foods are properly labeled. We must remember who we are fighting in this battle. We are fighting corporations selling us poison, backed by corporations making us poison, and these corporations will only respond to one kind of vote, the vote that we make with our dollars. Recently, Yoplait faced so much criticism over high fructose corn syrup that they removed it from all of their yogurts. Right before and after the March Against Monsanto in May, we saw major corporations like Whole Foods, Target, and Chipotle make major announcements about deciding to label and or phase out GMOs. This is happening because of us, because we will solve this as making demands as consumers first. Starting right now, we're going to boycott corn. This is all you have to do, is don't buy corn. Corn on the cob, corn in a can, corn in a mix at a restaurant, any visible kernels of corn. All we are asking for people to do right now is to boycott corn. This is going to be a clear, completely simple message that will definitely get back to its makers.
What?
We won't stand for poison. We won't stand for cronyism. And that is why we march against Monsanto.
Welcome back to For Whom the Bell Tolls. You were just listening to, I just had Sean Hall, candidate for U.S. Senate in North Carolina. And, hopefully soon I should get a call in for Lee Wrights. He did a message that he was running a little bit late, he's traveling, but he should be able to talk in time for his broadcast. But anyway, I guess real quickly, I'm going to make a quick mention, a little bit of a commentary on that, one of the last ad that we just ran about the high toast fructose corn syrup and Monsanto and GMOs and in general. Says he advocates labeling on that, and I would say that I would be okay with that if it was done through the market. The man's not through mandatory, because it does cause more problems, because otherwise it would cause more problems. Like especially with crony capitalism that are embedded with the government, like Monsanto. And speaking of which, by the way, which I didn't mention earlier in my when I was talking with, when I mentioned, of course, a lot of mention was trashing Jack Kingston, a lot of, he was my congressman before I moved. He was running for U.S. Senate here in Georgia. He has been awarded the Legislator of the Year by Monsanto. But either way, I bring that to a point. And of course, who is really head of it's the FDA, was also the former president of Monsanto. And, if we just force the label, we'll just really change it. They'll just change the definition of GMO. So it's not really going to solve the problem. It's not freedom also. And I think the whole message, which you mentioned about through the public service announcement belts, will boycott corn, then that sounds more appropriate for that. And if more people agree with that, well, that might change the message. We might, of course, there would be a market for nonviolent. Would answer that demand, as they see that there's a market for non-GMO corn, and there will be offers for it, and they will label it non-GMO. And they will have, and then, of course, in the supermarkets will then force the products they carry be labeled. So there's no need for government in that to get involved in this. That way, we don't necessarily have to have a war-like mentality in solving this, which is all government really is. Until I get Lee Wrights on, I'm going to go speak about a conversation I had with a friend of mine a few weeks ago. And this is one that I've known for about most of my life. And we had our first introduction to libertarianism. I'd say I definitely got deeper. He didn't really look into it that much. So the only thing that he is actually familiar, that is vaguely familiar with and knows of the philosophy of libertarianism is, which I'll probably get to that later. I think here's our guest. Hello, welcome to the program.
Hello, what's up?
What's up? Who am I speaking with? Well, he just dropped. Let's see. Well, anyway, as I was speaking, we had the same introduction from it. It was mainly from, so best really introduction, really thing he knows is he knows myself. He knows about Ron Paul, and he knows about Neil Bortz. That's the only really thing basis he knows about the theory of libertarianism. Anyway, he came to, and of course I'm trying to get him to, or voluntarism, I try very much hard to hammer that into him. But, or I guess that's not really a good verbiage for that. But anyway, we'll get into semantics later. Is he told me that he came to a realization that about the draft, that he said, you remember when I told you that I'd favor a draft only if we're in a World War III scenario where we're under imminent attack? And he said, well, I said, yeah, I remember that. And he said, well, I changed my mind. I'm against it in complete in every other circumstance. That's a good thought, but I think my guest is on the other line. It will be, hello, welcome to the program. For 407-508, won't give the last four digits. Now I got it.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, do you know about the one great god, Trash Dog Potat?
Great dog, Trash Dog Potat. No, I do not. What about him?
Dog Potat. He's great and white, and he rules all the world. So he's the New World Order. You know, a la Potat, you know?
Oh, this is one of the trolls that, of course, Proof Negative was, of course, worried
Literally.
About earlier.
Okay.
But,
Literally.
Okay, well, I think this conversation is over.
You have
a good day.
Potat.
We have another caller.
Oh, what's up? Great white trash dog on trash dog. Put sections in.
Jesus, that's annoying. Okay. Should go ahead and just, that's why I need to go. I have to go get the numbers for my callers for next week, and hopefully, I don't know if there's anything I could do about that for this episode. I'll just have to deal and drop them later. But anyway, as I was saying, so he's come out against a draft in all circumstances, and I was thinking about how great that was. I celebrate that, and then I had a very good, and of course, I came to that conclusion that, you know, if you really follow that logic to its conclusion, if you're against the draft in all situations, you should also be against government. Because if you take the case that it's immoral to initiate force, and immoral to force someone to fight in a war that they do not want to engage in, or for that matter, for any other service, or just participate in any, action, or you know, because they're, you know, any type of service group, which there is proposals for that, for either the military or for, you know, the Peace Corps or some type of community outreach or this program, but you get the deal. But some type of service for that. If you take the goal that it is immoral to force an individual to join into that, you would understand that, well, I guess in a logical conclusion, it's also immoral for them to pay for it as well. I don't know if anyone has any rebuttal to that. I will, of course, gladly take that and argue that with them. I do not know where Lee Wright is right now, but he takes it. It will probably end up being rather late. That is very unfortunate, and I'll have to do something about those trolls. I probably should have engaged, and that would be definitely be very would have been interesting. But yeah. This is definitely very different. I do not, now that I do not have a guest, I of course have a little bit of some free airtime. But anyway, as we speak, that we will have Cindy Lake, should have Cindy Lake in the next 15 minutes coming, which is, she comes on next anyway. And I got a message on Facebook. But anyway, we will hopefully have her call in, and she just Facebook and she said, do you need me at 4:30? Yes, I'd say if you can call in earlier, that would be helpful. Be helpful, I guess. And this is definitely, I can say, definitely a war on you. Which is definitely what in the mentality of it, that is from the more progressive stance on them. Hopefully I can get a better hang to this and talking this and not, I hate that I have bad air. This have dead air. It should be more that I'm sure whatever Lee Wrights is doing, I'm sure he's very busy, and of course that he's putting his time to good use. And of course, I should mention that one thing when I post this on my Facebook about that I was announced that I was going to have Sebastian. I'm certain that Lee Wrights here. And of course, Sebastian Knowlton had posted a certain controversy. I deleted mainly because, well, I deleted the comment because I didn't really want to get into it. I didn't want to defend it. I wasn't really think I could really get through it in just the next hour that I would have with him. Of course, there's not very much we can prove that, but I would say definitely if you're interested, you can contact Sebastian. And what that would be, if you're Sebastian Knowlton, if you're listening. Well, I would say if you can prove that, I'd say definitely if you really want to stop him or advancing in the Libertarian Party or do that, well, we'll probably argue that at some other point, but not tonight, though. I guess for right now, I'm going to go to a quick commercial break real quick, and hopefully I'll have a better, and hopefully we can probably get Cindy Lake on earlier to talk more about the Bundy Ranch situation.
Shalom and praises to the Father. More and more, we see the lies and the deceptions of the world, where it should be obvious we are in a spiritual battle. So I'd like to invite you to tune into the Sound Doctrine Ministries Fellowship Program right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network, where we will reason together according to the Holy Scriptures. also blessing you with an occasional guest, our spiritual common sense commentary, and spiritual uplifting songs that give praises to our Father. You can call in and speak to our host, or just listen to the show at 347-324-3704 every Tuesday and Saturday, noon Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Or you can tune into our chat room at freedomizerradio.com. Blessings and peace to your heart.
Did you know that childhood diseases declined over 90% before vaccines were introduced? Or that the federal government pays out about $100 million a year for vaccine injury and death? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Clara, welcome back. And it would appear, I think we're joined with Cindy Lake, host of Freedom Talk, who comes on after me. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing rather well. Paul, from that, I just had a few trolls call in, and definitely a big learning experience,
funny.
We'll apologize to my listeners, of course, I don't know where Lee Wrights is, but doesn't look like he's going to be able to join us today, and I'll be definitely prepared for and recorded for, won't have so much dead air for next time. But anyway, for anyone that doesn't know Cindy Lake, as I mentioned, she hosts Freedom Talk, which comes on after my show, and she's also a resident of Clark County, and she's running for county commissioner. And the Bundy case, what's going on there. And in keeping with the theme of the message that Sean Haw is campaigning stopping all war, this is certainly a case where they're definitely declaring war on you, where the federal government is declaring war on you. Without further ado, take it away. What's going on there?
Well, a revelation just in yesterday, and we had been hearing grumblings about this, but I do believe that it will be confirmed at any time if it hasn't been already that Mr. Bundy's grazing rights were actually sold to the Clark County Commission. Several years ago, and that was during a period of time in our history where many of the commissioners actually went to prison for some corruption things. Yeah, not surprising. So this is about to get even bigger than it even has been already, and there's obviously a reason why they took the steps that they did, the BLM, it seems, you know, the heavy-handedness and the 250 armed mercenaries out there under the guise of saving the tortoise. You know, I think that was kind of obvious how they handled it from the beginning, that they would have, I think they showed their hand in the way that they handled it. I mean, have you ever heard of the government coming in with 250 armed mercenaries to collect a debt or to, on behalf of a quote-unquote endangered species? So this is bringing to light, you know, other things and that have to be exposed. And the good thing is we have the tools now with being the media, like your show and my show and Freedomizer Radio and cameras on every cell phone and the internet, and we're everywhere, and they can't hide anymore. We have access to information, and we have a method and a tools to expose that information immediately. So there's no running and hiding.
No,
we're shining the light.
No, there isn't.
So that's the newest. That's the newest revelation that's come about, is that Mr. Bundy was correct, in my opinion, in paying his fees to Clark County, not to the BLM. And so hopefully that'll be confirmed, and then I think it will show also how he was railroaded in federal court. And I've been saying that too all along. I think that the jurisdiction was wrong, that it shouldn't have been handled in federal court, and apparently there was a summary judgment twice. No jury trial, summary judgment, which means that they found, or the judge found, that he had not even enough evidence to go to trial. And we're trying to confirm whether he even had an attorney, Mr. Bundy, or he handled that himself. So new things are coming to light, and he will be vindicated. And I believe our Assemblywoman, Michelle Fiore, also put out a very strong statement and asking Harry Reid to apologize to the people who, you know, stood up to the tyranny that day, and nobody had a weapon drawn except the government and the mercenaries. Mm-hmm. Nobody on the citizen side had a drawn weapon. They had their hands up. They came to the front lines, and they were willing to die for the thing that they believed in, which was liberty and the truth and property rights, constitutional rights, inherent rights, rights that you were born with, your Second Amendment rights, your First Amendment. They did a First Amendment cage out in the middle of the desert, these guys. That's what set me off in the first place, was that, you know, I've been in that situation before when I was a national delegate down in Tampa. They did the same things there, built some cages and told, you know, the people, us, if we wanted to say anything against the Republican Party or controversial, we would have to go into our little cage. Into our First Amendment cage, you know, we took it, but I don't think we should take it anymore. I really don't. I don't think we should take it anymore. I don't know. There was so much going on at the time. We were happy to even be there, to be able to be there, because so many people were not allowed to even be seated as delegates, as you know, if you were a Ron Paul supporter. So in my case, anyway, I was so happy to even have my seat. I didn't want to do anything to possibly...
You know, rock the boat and...
Yeah. No. Because we were under constant threat. We were under constant threat before we ever even got there. I mean, we were under constant threat for years before we ever got there, because I was doing the same thing in 2008. So, but you know what? The people, the sleeping giant is stirring. The people are awakening. And so, you know, I didn't think if you meet Mr. Bundy, Eric, where are you anyway? What state are you in? I don't even know where you are.
I'm in Georgia.
Okay. You're in Georgia.
Yeah.
So do you have any plans of visiting Vegas anytime soon?
Well, if I ever have enough, if I do somehow get enough money, I hope I might hopefully go down there to the Bundy Ranch if I can afford it. If this hasn't really blown over or by the time, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But no immediate plans at the moment. But I do have a few friends of the show, which I've interviewed. Well, actually, he's been on probably about three times just in the seven episodes. You know Jason Patrick, by chance?
Who's that?
Jason Patrick?
I don't believe so.
Well, he's been there for probably about 2 weeks, and he's from Warner Robins, Georgia. And, of course, uh-huh. he has done a very good time, very good, and recording it and live streaming. Well, what is going on from there? And, one thing I wanted to get to, which it seems like, I guess if there's any silver lining, if there's any actually positive that I can look at, it does look like, if there's nothing that would have actually awakened to Republicans or conservatives to actual police state policies, which of course with a Republican president before that was enacted 8 years now, I don't really know what will, but and it seems like a little bit more might have some chance of that. Do you think that those that are of course on board that are they're sincere that they would that this would actually stick? Or
that say that again, I'm sorry. As far as
for the Republicans that are just now looks like they're being awoken to the power of the concept of a police state. Do you think that will stick if we have a Republican president in 2016?
I was so focused on the presidential races for two cycles, and I'm kind of losing hope that that's the answer there. I don't think it is. You know, I think I'm preaching to the choir with you when I say that, but I don't think that that's the answer to whether or not major changes will happen. I think that if we have a more libertarian Republican president, maybe, if he's allowed to, do the things that we need done, but I'm so much more focused now on the local scene,
local politics,
as local as possible. But to answer your question, no. The Republican Party is at war with itself.
What I'm saying is those that are supporting, that are rallying behind Bundy, that are, maybe awakening to the police state. Like, I mean, do you think there's legitimate that they wouldn't really go back to it, whether if it's a Bush or just any other president that has another R behind his name? That's what I'm essentially asking.
I think this is waking more and more people up, and so that's a good thing. But no, not just any R will do.
Right.
No, we need a small R, big L, or at least an RL, or at least a CRL. I say constitutional Republican, libertarian leaning. I mean, the Republican brand is so broken. We know that.
Yeah.
It's so broken. As a matter of fact, my show next is we're gonna talk about this too. So, it's unfortunate, but, and again, we're preaching to the choir probably here with our audience and all that, but I think, every day we're waking up more and more people, and maybe with a Republican president. I don't know. We've been through several majorities where there's a Republican president, Congress, and Senate, and not many changes have occurred.
I would definitely hope that is if this continues, on this side of things that continue, I hope that these same people that are rallying behind Bundy, conservatives, that are would still stand up to a Republican, whether it's from their team or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Right, me too. I'm hoping for that too. And yes, I think it's possible, because that was just brought out to me by the gentleman who's hosting my campaign kickoff. As a matter of fact, he has some friends who were out at the ranch, and they're not necessarily, like you and me. They're more like more conservative, socially conservative, I would say. So, yeah, I mean, there's always hope. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful with every day that passes and all these shows and the opportunities that we have here at Freedomizer to get the word out, be the media, and all the other people who are doing similar things and with shows and radio shows and social media and live streaming, you streaming, and all of that can only help.
Right.
And so we have to keep plugging away. So, yeah, I'm hopeful. I am hopeful, and I am a Republican again. I switched to Libertarian for 30 days, and I went back to the Republican Party because, you know, that is the tool that we have right now. And unfortunately, as broken as it is, it's the system we live under. So we have to either work with what we have.
Well, I can't disagree with that a little bit because, I mean, I've worked that. I think if, and of course, if that's that can be salvaged, I do applaud all the efforts that are, you know, pushing the message forward and trying and just resisting tyranny from whatever angle they can. But for me personally, I'm no longer going to really go that route. I'm actually, as I mentioned earlier, I'm actually starting the local chapter for the Libertarian Party here in Lowndes County. And for all the listeners, again, it'll be, the first meeting is going to be May 7th at Mongo's Mongolian Fire Pit at 7. Yes. And, but yeah, I definitely do. I definitely do. And very supportive. We'll give you more support, I guess, if that means, I think if anything, we'll defeat this by, we'll kill this monstrosity by, well, 1,000 cuts.
Right. And everybody has a different method. And so I've been critical in the past of, you know, leaving the party. And I think that it's going to take, like you said, all different cuts, but all from all different places. And originally I was of the mindset that, you know, we had to stay with the Republican Party and that was the only way. But now I see there are so many different ways to do this, to accomplish this goal and with what was done, again, to, you know, the national delegates at the National Republican National Convention in 2012, that further solidified in my mind that that might not be the only way to go. There are other ways to do this. So, you know, we're all doing what we can do, and it's going to take more and more and more people. But again, it really the 3% are the ones who are going to have the 3%ers. Have you heard of that group?
The 3%ers, I think those are usually those that do vote in the, I think Ben Swan was mentioning that. That is about, it's about 3%ers that usually do vote in congressional races.
No, there's a group of, they call themselves 3%ers, and those are the 3% who actually fought the Revolutionary War.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Stood up to, so it only took 3%. The rest of them didn't do anything. So I think we're getting there as far as, you know, waking people up and getting people active. And I think this is going to be more of a intellectual, peaceful, social media-oriented struggle. And I think we'll prevail. I don't see any other
option. Well, that is certainly what we are hoping for. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
And
I'm feeling optimistic.
I do. I am as well. I mean, I think one thing, I mean, they didn't, I mean, they, of course, the feds didn't slaughter you. So that's definitely, that gives me hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, and of course, and I was very surprised. I mean, just the last year, I mean, we stopped the war in Syria, so. Before it even happens, well, kind of. Well, they're still arming them, but still, but an actual
war, we can actually say we actually did accomplish at least one thing. And I guess it looks like this Bundy, I am optimistic this will be at least our second thing in our lifetime that we have accomplished. And, of course, and I think we can build off that momentum.
Oh, absolutely. But,
yeah. And for 3%. I'm sorry.
Hear me open? Oh, I'm trying to hear you better. I'm having
yeah.
a little bit.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Sorry. Yeah. Keep on hearing. Yeah, I heard an echo.
Heard an echo.
Are you listening to it on free roam? Because that kind of bothers me a little bit. Okay, now it's gone. But yeah, 3%ers, it's interesting. I think we have at least 1% of the population are awakened from that. I guess that's pretty hard to determine because, I mean, one thing, I guess, because not all people in our movement or circles vote for one. And of course, we don't know if we can trust that, obviously. But, I mean, we've got about 1 million people on 2 million that voted for Ron Paul. Probably is, I guess we probably have about 3 million people that votes, 3 million that are in our circles within constitutionalists, libertarian or just anarcho-capitalists, whatever, that are among our ranks. So we can just double our ranks. I'm very optimistic.
I'm optimistic too. Tell me how you hear me, Eric, please. I just put on the headphones.
I can hear you as well. I can hear you.
Okay.
Perfectly.
Okay. Okay, because before it was a little fuzzy, and I didn't know if you were hearing me the same way I was hearing you, so I put on the headset. I just want to make sure that I'm coming through and
perfect.
You can hear me okay.
Perfect.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Okay,
and
good.
Yes, one thing where I was one thing which Dan Johnson had mentioned, of course, it really does. I mean, obviously, yes, we do want as many the populace to be awakened as well. But really, all we do need to do is just engage those that already get the message as well, and get them active. And of course, that doesn't mean we have to just do a central plan, obviously, whether it's the Republican Party, Libertarian Party, or just outside of politics altogether. But I would say definitely do something. I mean, if you hear me, I guess apply this what you hear, and just get off the couch. And whatever strategy that seems to work, I think the market will decide, and more people will move over to that.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel the same way. So that's what drives me to run for office when it's really not comfortable. I don't consider myself to be, nor do I want to be called a politician. That word does not apply to me. It's not why I'm here. It's not why I do what I do or why I've done what I've done. I don't think the word politician would even apply to Ron Paul. And that was why I really was touched. Something sparked that flame in me to get active. Is he's not a politician, I don't feel. And I want to emulate that. And you're right, waking people up is my reason for being. So if that means, you know, doing a weekly radio show and more and getting out there and doing the social media stuff and waking people up, it's working. It's working.
It's working. So I guess you can say, describe, how is your race? What do you actually think? You think you have a very good chance of winning right now? Is it picking up steam?
We're having the kickoff. Can you hang on mute?
Oh, so when is your primary? Hello? Hello? I may have lost her.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Yeah, I can hear you now. Okay. Well, when is your primary?
I'm sorry, say that again?
When is your primary?
My primary is June 10th. My kickoff, campaign kickoff is next Tuesday, a week from today. And I've got some good, strong, loyal, educated, like-minded, experienced grassroots volunteers. So I feel really good about it. And because they believe the same things that I do, they're passionate about the same things. They're very well-versed in getting that message out, getting the message across. And anybody who hears that message agrees with the message, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually encouraged that. And, like, I feel like this, like, my running for office is more of a podium for me to get the message out. Regardless, win or lose, the attention is on the message. So we have to use those opportunities more and more and more, and not focus on the win or lose of it, but focus on how we're getting the message out. It doesn't matter if we win or lose. I mean, I'd like to win and get in that seat and be the vote that I need on that board, but aside from that, we're knocking on doors, we're talking to people about the issues, and that's really important. So we need to use the opportunity to do that.
Well, I would say that is, I guess, a good way of looking about it. I mean, when you're Liberty candidate running for any office, I mean, all you really do is win in that circumstance. It's not winning or losing. All you do is win. Because, as you said, it is a podium, and that you are, of course, speaking about very important issues. And, of course, in Europe, may spark interest in, of course, those you come in contact to them that may, of course, accomplish even greater things and may do that. And I don't know, that might be the only valuable thing we might only have if we do win, which reminded by, you know, a speech by Doug Casey, and he said, well, one of the few things that's really unnecessary to try to reform the states or government is because, well, those that try either do end up being either being corrupted, either being assimilated, or they just get isolated. And that kind of did happen with Ron Paul, but the one thing that he did was able to do was he did have a platform, and he was able to bring to really expose the current system as a farce. I mean, there was actually, I don't know if you, of course, know how many bills that he got passed and signed into law while he was in Congress?
None.
Well, it was four, actually, in the 35 years that he was in office. And I think the last one was in 2009. He gave some, museum or something back to Lake Jackson, Texas.
Instead of being owned by the federal government. That's right. You're right. I forgot about that. I forgot that it was actually four and not zero. I'm so used to hearing his detractors, you know, say that. But yeah, 35 years, but that would be my goal. I don't want to pass any more laws.
We want to repeal them. I mean, I want to say that might be, of course, something I might consider running in my near future. And of course, I'll probably be a podium as a platform to express mm-hmm. that government is a farce. But, you know, obviously, I would want to get elected and do everything that I said I want to do. Get that done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So that's my goal. So anyway, thank you for having me on. I need a few minutes before I get started. on my show, too. I was supposed to finish reading this
book. Yes.
But thank you for having me. And
before you go, though, before you do go, do you have anything to plug? It's like any website that we could donate, or is there like
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's CindyLake.net, and there's a donate button on every page. And thank you for the opportunity to do that. I'm running for Clark County Commission G, which is all over the news today because that is the body who apparently bought the grazing rights from the BLM or from the BLM several years ago, and that entire commission board, for the most part, was indicted, and, well, many of them anyway. So it's a big story, and I'm actually running for Harry Reid's son's former seat. He was my commissioner for 8 years. So, yeah, it's a big deal, and he's not on the board. He ran for governor, and he gave up his seat to another lady who apparently was there, you know, their choice to be in that position, although she had to be elected. She did get elected a few years ago. Well, it's going on 4 years in 2010. So, yes, I am running for that position. So it's an interesting race, and I'm hoping that your listeners will check me out and spread the word. That's all I can hope for.
Oh, yes. I will certainly be paying attention to that, to your race, and of course I will. I'm sure I'll be talking about it a lot, and we'll probably be having on you. You'll probably be a recurring guest as well. So
thank you, and you're welcome on mine as well anytime, Eric. So thanks, and I will be taking over in a few minutes. You have a great night. Good job you're doing.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. So, quick commercial for my next week's schedule. It is Ladies' Night. I will be discussing, which is brought up in the libertarian circles, is why there is predominantly more men than women, and how can we get more women involved in that? And, you know, I was first going to have this debate. I wanted to do it like weeks ago when my friend, Valley Sergeant Martin, who of course I'm certainly in the Free Miser Radio, know very well, as she used to have a show here, and just about everyone I know that works on Free Miser Radio just loves her to death. But anyway, she's going to be speaking at a conference. She's a good speaker. She's going to be a speaker at LOLA, which is Ladies of Liberty Alliance, which does try to get more females involved in it. That's their main thing. And I want to do it for weeks. But, of course, she was on vacation, and of course, and she asked, well, we'll do a rain check. And she said, well, let's do it like about 2 weeks before I actually speak. And I've been building upon that since then. And it's going to be very good stuff. I have no doubt that it will be one of the best episodes that I've ever done. And it'll be very hard for me to get to beat it afterwards, or to even become the part of that. But I'll try. There's anyway, I guess I will wrap this up. And of course, I'll wrap this episode up. Of course, I can build off of every other episode of whether first being through, is it moral to vote for a libertarian thing? And of course, then going back to, and of course, about the libertarian wing of the Libertarian Party. And of course, many have talked about Bundy Ranch. And of course, being a foot, when you're
of what to do when you're funding your own oppression. Of course, and this and that, and stopping all war. And I guess one thing we can definitely say, there's a recurring message for all of it is, the way you do what you need to do, how you solve the answer to all that problems is, you need to resist and just do anything you can to stop it. And they will work one way or other. Resistance is not futile. Resistance is victory. And we will, we will win. I do have accomplished that. And we can, and we are close to our 3%, the 3%ers, as you mentioned, which does make me feel very, very, very optimistic. As I said, please tune in next week. Valley Sergeant Martin will be speaking, which will be in the second hour, and I'll have recording artist Tatiana Merez, and I might have one more guest that will join in periodically. It'll be, of course, I'm titling it Ladies' Night, and of course, there will be some lot of truths that'll be mentioned there. And it should be a very good episode. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you I'd like you to please go find me, go through on Facebook. Go type in For Whom the Bell Tolls with Eric Bell. Like it, give me feedback. If you have any ideas that you would like to hear on my show, I'll gladly listen. And that would be, that's about all I have. So please do, and of course I don't know where Lee Wrights is, but I hope that he is doing well. I'm sure that, I hope whatever means that he did get, which he did bring freedom, of course I'm sure it does, in advocating freedom. But that is it. You have a good night. And we will next is Cindy Lake.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all in the Sabbath Hour at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Okay, everybody, hello, and welcome to Freedom Talk with Cindy Lake. Today is Tuesday, April 22nd, 2014. We have a real treat tonight. We have Mr. Larry Nichols, author of several books, and the most recent one is called Under Attack, How the Tea Party Can Fight Back and Win. I'm really excited to have Larry join us, and so without further ado, I know he is waiting in queue here. Thanks for joining me tonight. I hope you enjoy the show, and I hope you will call in to 347-324-3704 if you have any questions or you'd like to talk to Larry. Let's bring Mr. Larry Nichols on. And Larry, are you there?
You bet. How are you, Cindy?
I am wonderful. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Well, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining me. I'm so honored to have you here. I must admit that I did not know who you were. prior to us talking a few days ago. And, well, I guess I when I did finally get your book and Google and do some research, I realized that, of course, I had probably heard your name over the years. And, again, I'm just so honored to be able to talk to you and have you join me here on the show.
Well, thank you. You know, Cindy, the reason I guess I'm here is because for those in the audience, there may be some that remember listening to me on the radio show there in Las Vegas for years. Can't remember the host's name. It's been a while. But I had to do and go through what the Tea Party's going through now. Except I had to do it with the Clintons. And, folks, I guarantee you, you did not want to come between Bill and Hillary Clinton and something they wanted. And when he got to be president and her the first lady, it was tough. And I thought it was bad then, Cindy, but we have gone completely down now. Now we have a group of people who call themselves Tea Party or like-minded people who simply want fiscal responsibility. They want honesty. They want our government back to where, shrink it to get it back to where our forefathers intended it to be. And now the system is out to get them. You know, when you have to wonder what the Republican Party is thinking when the Tea Party is makes up a good part of their base, and yet here they are to destroy them. And I want to say congratulations to you, Cindy, for running, for having the courage to run for county commissioner. That's what it takes. It takes people getting out and taking a giant step and trying to take the government back, take our country back. And it starts with people like you, Cindy, that are willing to throw your hat in the ring and try to accomplish something. So I feel everybody's
Thank
pain.
You.
Well, I guess the reason I'm here, Cindy, is one, I hope as you've read the book, the book's certainly not flattering to me. The book is simply the facts, the truth, and nothing but the truth. And then I use what happened when I was fighting Clinton, when, if your audience doesn't know, I'm the guy that they most credited with the scandals that got Clinton impeached. And so I just went back in my memory and reconstructed what happened and tried to find a way to make it happen now, again. And back then, for those that can't believe this to be true, but back when we did the Clinton Chronicles, and the first video was Circle Power, and then the Clinton Chronicles between Jerry Falwell and Carolina Films and all of them sold some 60 million copies. And there was no place to move, to market it. There was no place to get it out to the people because the mainstream media, although I had evidence by the truckload, the mainstream media wouldn't touch Bill Clinton. So I had to find alternative ways to get the message out. In that day, we did the video, and then to get people to watch the video, I did talk radio programs, which back then were AM stations that were barely hanging on. And a lot of them, I'd be talking, and somebody call in and say they had a bicycle to sell. I'd be talking to somebody call in and say they had a motorcycle to sell. And it was flock jocks. People started listening, and we grew, and it grew. And then I was doing more talk shows, more even still. And it awoke a nation, and we got to do the same now. The book we're referring to, folks, is, I'm sorry?
No, I was just going to say, just please tell me how you're here to talk about this. I And you have to have thought about that. I'm wondering.
Yeah, I thought about it a lot. In Arkansas, and by the way, folks, you have never heard me one time accuse Bill or Hillary of killing anybody or having anybody killed. You haven't. Now, I had some 52 people that were going to come out or testify in court that died mysterious deaths, like shot themselves in the back of the head twice or cut their hands off, cut their head almost off, cut their feet off, and then threw themselves in a dump and set themselves on fire. So, I mean, yeah, there were some weird deaths. But, Cindy, I knew one thing. If I could get public, if I could get out in the public's eye, the gamble I took was then I would be so visible that they couldn't kill me. Now, they beat me up, but they couldn't kill me. And it worked.
Wow.
It worked.
Very interesting. So, yeah, go ahead and tell our listeners which book you're referring to and why it's so important.
Well, several people that are part of Tea Parties across the country who remember me from the Clinton days have come to me over and over and over and said, you know, can't you please get in here and stop this? Can't you help us like you did with Clinton? And, Cindy, I have become so disillusioned with the American people that I just didn't want any part of it. Politics at the national level and even at the local level is dirty. It is. And I just didn't want any more of it. But I have grandchildren. I have a daughter. And I'm seeing everything move so fast that I had to do something. Now, here's the book Under Attack, What the Tea Party Can Do, Tea Party Candidates Can Do to Win and Take Over the Republican Party. The good news about the Tea Party, Cindy, is the Tea Parties are small groups independent of each other. That way they're not easily they can't slip somebody in and take over subversively control of the party as a whole. There's too many little groups. The bad news is there are too many little groups and they don't coordinate and they don't work together. Part of that is because leaders of the Tea Party groups, many of them, quite honestly, are just jealous that if they merge with another Tea Party group, they might lose their seat at the head of the table.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of that here.
Yeah. People don't believe it, but you know it to be true.
Oh, I've witnessed it firsthand. Yep. So you're absolutely right.
So how can I help the Tea Party help our country when the Tea Party's don't work together? And that's when I came up with the concept, you know, I'll do a book, and let's call it a handbook more than a literary piece. Mm-hmm. And I will outline and lay out the steps to victory. And none of the Tea Party groups need to be jealous because it's a book. It's not somebody trying to take over their role as the leader of their group. So Michael Petro and I set out to do it, and we did it. Now, I list in the book, well, there's several things in the book, as you know, Cindy. I talk about, I give sort of anecdotal information, stuff that y'all all know that's been in the news and it's out there every day, but you just don't process it in a way that we need to get the message out to all the people in the country. So I set out to write it, and then I told all the problems in the book. Number one, let's just take a chapter in the book that I think is probably the most profound chapter in the book. And by the way, I didn't come up with it. A good friend of mine in Ohio Carol Kaplan, went to a tea party gathering, and she called me when it was over, and she said, I can't believe it, I couldn't say the Pledge of Allegiance. And I thought, you know, I said, why couldn't you say the Pledge of Allegiance? She said, because it's a lie. Now, folks, I want you to think about it. This is how far we have come down. This is how far we've come down as a country, as a people, as a nation. Pledge of Allegiance goes like this. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Now, that part still holds, if you want it to. But then it goes, and to the republic for which it stands. Now, Cindy, when's the last time you heard a politician refer to our government as a republic?
I haven't heard a politician, but I have heard a statesman named Ron Paul refer to it as a republic.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
No politician. Right.
No politicians. The politicians out there, they call us a democracy, and there is a reason they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, to the republic for which it stands, that's wrong now. One nation under God. Well, now there's one for you. We just went through Easter, folks. And every time Christians brought up Easter egg hunts, well, let's go to Michigan. There's a city in Michigan. Good Lord, my mind just went blank. But they've got about a third of the community is Muslim. Well, the school, one of the schools passed out a note to take home to the parents, letting them know that if they wanted to go on Easter Sunday to an Easter egg hunt at the church, they were invited. The Muslim community rose up. And, I mean, they went after the school, claiming that it was a violation of the Constitution, separation of church and state. Now, if you read the book, you're going to get a juicy little bit of information that you can tell others. We literally, Cindy, in the book, tell the truth about where Jefferson and all of this separation of church and state came from. Thomas Jefferson was getting razzed by a church. And he sent a letter to the church. Now, this is Thomas Jefferson for himself. And basically, I'm paraphrasing, he said, if you want to knock my politics, that's fine. But don't mix my politics with the church. Leave my beliefs alone. And folks, that's where this concept, the separation of church and state, came from. It's not in the Declaration of Independence. It's not in the Constitution. It was in a letter that Jefferson wrote. So anyway, this school, they start claiming violation of separation of church and state. Now, it's odd because in the school, by the way, took back the invitation. But that same school devotes 30 days a year to holding Islam Day, where it teaches the children of the school about Islam. They provide places for the Muslim kids to do their mat trick and say their prayers. Now remember, the same school that you don't dare let Jesus Christ in there. The same school that nobody better mention Jesus and start trying to teach, you know, Christianity. So you see, we've got not one God, we've got gods. Is it Islam? What is the God? So one nation under God. We've thrown God out of our nation, out of our government. Indivisible? Are you kidding me? We're more divided today, Cindy, than we've been since the Civil War. We've got a president that every time he turns around, he's trying to play the race card and get a race war of sort between the whites and the blacks going, the whites and the Mexicans. We're separated. And then liberty and justice for some.
We don't have that either.
Not all.
We don't have that either. So, you know, I always say, and I'm sure you've heard this said before, we're living in, it seems like, in an alternate universe. Like, everything that should be is upside down. You just read that Pledge of Allegiance to me, and every word that you said was computing that something's so very wrong here. We know this, and most of our listeners know this. My whole goal here, even in running for office, there's a saying, I was on the show, I called into the show before mine, I was invited on as a guest, and the revelation for me is that we are in an alternate universe now. Everything is upside down from where it should be, and we have to get the message out now. There's no time.
Right.
There's no time. We have no more time. We're out of time, and my running for office is honestly, my end goal is not even to win. It's to get this message out, and if I have a podium, it's all the better. I mean, the more podiums, the more opportunities we have to get this message out. We have to take those opportunities, and if that means running for office, getting a radio show, writing a book, attending functions, telling your church members, your neighbors, talking to everybody and anybody that you can possibly tell this is what's going on, what we can do about it. So what can we do about it, Larry?
Well, in this book, and by the way, folks, you can go to that's an e-book. You can go to createspace.com. Write that down, y'all, createspace.com, and get a paperback copy of the book sent to you, please. Now, the price is $19.95, and I know you're all going, whoa, that's a lot of money. It is a lot of money. It's an awful lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to work. It costs me money to promote it that I don't have. So please get the book. Now, when you get the book, as you have seen, you know, like chapter one is what about the Congress? Is it still viable? And then what about immigration? What about da-da-da? Folks, it's in the first few chapters, we tell you stuff, don't we, Cindy, that just what you were saying, just so that you can get around the water cooler and you can talk to your friends and spread the word. My God, did y'all know this? Did y'all know this? And it's not conspiracy stuff. Now, y'all, the stuff in this book, and I hope Cindy will attest to this, the stuff in this book is just straightforward. It's in your face. And just like you're saying, Cindy, it's moving so fast now. We're in an alternate paradigm. And it don't make no sense. And it's getting worse. So part of the book is to give you information that is real. I'm talking about really stuff that's true. And get you to where you can talk to people. For example, folks, all of you out there, now you listen to me. Listen to me. Did you know that there's a former United States Congressman from Ohio named Steve LaTourette who resigned his seat several months ago from Congress. And now he is a lobbyist. And he has vowed, in cooperation with Karl Rove and the established hierarchy of the Republican Party, to raise millions and millions and millions of dollars to destroy the Tea Party. And then Mitch McConnell, leader of the minority in the United States Senate, what did he say publicly? He said he was going to crush the Tea Party. And what they're trying to do, Cindy, is they're trying to break your spirit. If they can load up, and I'm talking about they're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to make sure, Cindy, you don't win your race. You think, well, see, everybody's thinking, well, they're throwing this money at the big national elections. No, they're not. To destroy the Tea Party, if we can have this election, and everybody that's running from dog catcher to the United States Senate and all the ballots in between, if the Tea Party gets beat in almost every race, what they're counting on is that the masses, the people in the Tea Party, will get disillusioned and say, hey, you know, we can't beat them, and just walk away. Did you know, Cindy, that the National Chamber of Commerce, the National Chamber in Washington, pledged to Launcherette $50 million to keep any eggheads from the Tea Party to get elected? And then you've got Steve Launcherette, Mitch McConnell, and Karl Rove. And you'll see in the book that this Main Street Project, which is Launcherette's name, his pack, or whatever he wants to call it, they're getting money from labor unions, $100,000 from one, $150,000 from another, $200,000 from another. Folks, though, the labor unions typically and historically have always thrown their money in behind Democrats, and yet here they are helping the Republican leadership to destroy the Tea Party. That don't make sense. So you see, there's a lot weird going on, but it's designed so that you can take this information, read it, learn it. The book's not very long, like 98 pages, let's say 100 pages by design. You should be able to read it in an hour to an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. It's not intimidating. But then I tell you all these problems, just like I have here, Cindy, but then in the last chapter, I tell you how to win, how we're going to win. Now, folks, please go to createspace.com. That's CREATESPACE.com. Go there tonight. Order the book. You can also get the e-book. If you want to get the e-book and read it right now, just go to lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. Chapter 10 is the solution. I will hit just a couple of those, Cindy, in the interest of time. Every member of the Tea Party should have this book. Would you agree, Cindy?
Yeah, I'm just getting done with it, and I think it gives us some really good points, although I don't like to label myself, quote-unquote, a Tea Partier, per se.
No, you're the group that I label in the book as like-minded. You're not a Tea Party person. I'm not a Tea Party person.
Well, we are like-minded
in many ways.
We're like-minded. I'm a liberty-loving constitutional Republican, registered Republican, and I do, however, share many, many of the same beliefs with the Tea Party in several of those groups, like I told you over the phone. But it's going to take all these liberty-loving, constitutionally minded groups getting together and coming together and fighting off the establishment. And the only thing I really want to know is, how do we do that when, as you said, it doesn't matter if we raise 50,000, they'll raise 500,000.
Let's start at the beginning. The beginning is, whether we like it or not, Cindy, there's to run for office today, you're either a Democrat or a Republican.
Right.
I mean, if you want to have a legitimate chance to win an election, you will have to join one of the parties or run it from one of the parties. Now, the Republican Party, historically, since Ronald Reagan, has been the party of, the moral Christian conservative. But they're betraying that now. Now they're in cahoots with the Democrats. And every day, John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, they're moving and moving further away from your beliefs, Cindy, and the things that you believe the country to be. They're moving away from it, moving over. They might as well be Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So there's our opening. Now, folks, listen to me. In a primary, coming up in the Republican Party, did you know if we activate, Cindy, the Tea Party groups in your area, if we activate other conservative groups in your area, if we alert the Christian community in your area. We've got an army. And folks, it doesn't take that many people to win in a Republican primary, because the number of people voting in that primary will be much less than you can even imagine. So
yeah,
the
we're
votes
probably
from
looking
the,
in the 10-15% range, I'm thinking.
There
maybe.
You go. There you go. And if the Tea Party will lock hands with the conservative group, other groups, independents, et cetera, if all of them will lock hands and make a pledge in blood to each other that you will vote, Cindy, we're going to get, you and I, we're going to get as many groups as we can to commit to go vote, number one. Number two, we're going to get every member in the Tea Party, every member of this alternative group, whatever it is, we're all going to pledge to be responsible to get 10 people to go vote. 10. I'm going to use the Tea Party as an example because it's quicker. So if you're in a Tea Party group of 20 people, each one of you will pledge to each other and to your God and your nation that you will be responsible for getting 10 other people to go vote in this primary, and you're going to make out a sample ballot. And this ballot, Cindy, is going to list every single race that's on the ticket, every one of them. And then it's going to tell you which flip, switch to flip, who is the Tea Party candidate, who is the incumbent. You're going to hold it in your hand so there's no confusion. Cindy, a lot of people go vote, and they go to vote for their cousin that's running for sheriff, their sister that's running for tax collector, or whatever. Usually people go and they're interested in 3, maybe 4 races. The rest of the ballots they don't care about. They don't know. So, Cindy, it's me and you. So you go in and here's a switch, and one of them is Cindy Lake and the other one's Larry Nichols, and I don't care who gets county land commissioner. I came here to vote for my cousin. And all that happens mentally, well, I think I've heard that name Larry Nichols before, so I guess that's who I vote for. That's where name awareness and the power of incumbents come in. It's the down-ballot tickets that people just slough off those races. They don't care about them. We're going to put together a sample ballot, and it will have every person that you're to vote for and who you're voting against. When there's no Tea Party person, when there's no Libertarian, when there's just a regular Joe Blow, it doesn't matter as long as that person's not the incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to get Larry, 10 people.
No, go ahead. I just wanted to let you know that we do have somebody waiting to talk to you and ask a question, and we're going to have to take a short break in about a minute. So if you would
okay, well, I'll hurry through this.
Finish up your thought, and then I'll go to a little break, and we'll take some calls.
All right. Now, folks, if you each one of you get 10 people in your 20-person Tea Party group, you now are 200. And when you go in and cast your vote, then when they come out there to call you and tell you that they cast their vote and tell you that they literally voted, like the ballot said, the sample ballot. And I know we got a break coming up, but this is key to exposing the fraud in the election. But now, Cindy, if all the Tea Party people come out and vote, you win. You win, Cindy. You. And that's what we want. All right,
well,
I'm ready for a break if we are.
We're ready for a break. Everybody, thanks for listening. I'm going to take about 5 minutes, and I hope to see you back here. And callers that are waiting, thanks for waiting. We'll get to you as soon as the break is over, about 3 to 5 minutes. And thanks for staying on. Be right back.
Come listen to Ancient of Days, where we talk about the lies, misrepresentations, and holes in the history we learned in school. Mondays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Freedomizer. Thank you.
Hi. Please mark your calendar for the last Wednesday of each month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, USA, to join me, Debbie Brooke, founder of Homeopathy World Community, on Freedomizer Radio. I'll discuss medical news highlights on influenza, expose fraud in society, and question the tactics of Big Pharma. My passion covers self-empowerment with health freedom. Tune in to learn about the power of homeopathic remedies to heal the body, mind, and spirit. All shows are archived and simulcast on Blog Talk Radio Homeopathy World Community. All other Wednesdays in the month feature Alan Phillips discussing vaccinations and your rights. Call in each week to speak with us live. We appreciate when you share these shows with friends. See you on Wednesday, 6 p.m.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Did you know that childhood diseases declined over 90% before vaccines were introduced? Or that the federal government pays out about $100 million a year for vaccine injury and death? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Did you know that there are literally hundreds of vaccines on the market or in development? Or that state legislatures around the country have been passing unconstitutional laws limiting your right to refuse vaccines? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring.
Did you know that healthcare workers around the U.S. are required to get flu shots they don't want to avoid losing their jobs? Or that some state laws allow children to consent to vaccines that can injure or kill them? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Okay, I'm back. Thanks for waiting, everybody, and thanks for staying with us. Larry Nichols, author of Under Attack, How the Tea Party Can Fight Back and Win, and also author of The Clinton Chronicles, very famous book. We have a caller waiting to talk to you, Larry, so I'm going to bring that caller in. Caller, you are on with Larry Nichols and Cindy Lake, area code 985. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. This is Chuck. I'm just listening in. This is Chuck and Susie.
Oh, hi, Susie. How are you? I think I might have lost Larry here. I'm sure he'll call back in.
I thought I recognized that voice.
Oh, there he is. Okay, he's here with us.
Yes, I'm here.
You sound good, Larry.
Okay, good.
Well, Cindy, Susie and I, she has been with me for years. And Susie, do you think that we can save the country?
Yes. Larry's my mentor, okay? He taught me everything I know about the Constitution and about how to defend it. And I owe everything I think about these days to Larry.
Well, that's a huge compliment, Larry.
Very huge compliment. Because Susie's right up there with at the top of my list of people who are knowledgeable on what's going on. So did Susie take it to another level, or are we all pretty much on the same page here as far as...
I'll tell you what, if anybody can fix it, Larry's the one. I've been just dying for Larry to come out with a solution, and he finally, I'm so happy that he finally did it. And I begged him years ago to get the Tea Party involved.
Yes, mm-hmm. She did, and I told her no. But, you know, hey, let me tell you, folks, you can win. And Cindy, Susie, if each one of you listening to my voice right now will make a pledge to each other to get 10 people, pick out, find 10 people that you will be responsible to make sure they vote. And then when they vote, make sure they call you and tell you they did vote. Make sure they have a sample ballot so we know exactly how they vote. And what happens, Cindy, just like in your race, you know for you to go out and advertise against your opponents, you don't have enough money. And if you did, whatever you got, they got 10 times as much. But in the concept
right.
I'm talking about, folks, by doing the sample ballot and making sure that each one of us get 10 people to go vote, especially those of you in Cindy's market, think about it. Every Tea Party candidate, every Libertarian candidate that's worth anything, everybody is running together. No, we're not together, but we're running together. And everybody wins. It's exactly, Cindy, the reverse strategy to what Rove and them are doing. They want everybody in the Tea Party to lose every race, which will break the back of the morale of the Tea Party. It will destroy the units, the cohesiveness. It will destroy the morale.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing just the opposite. We want everybody in the Tea Party, from Dolph Hetcher, the United States Senator, to win.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You will win.
Yeah.
Now, folks, I'm asking you. Somewhere today, Cindy, there's a soldier in Afghanistan scared to death. He's going to get killed, away from home, homesick, missing his family, doing that for us, y'all, risking his life for us. And I swear to you, I don't think much of any one of you. I don't think much of any one of you, if you will not swear today in an oath to each other before the presence of God, that you will make sure 10 people go vote, and if they need a ride, take them. And then when they vote, they're to call you and verify that they did vote and that they used the sample ballot. Now, Cindy, let me ask you this. Let's say there's a Tea Party group with 100 people in it, and they get 10 each, so now they're 1,000 strong, right? Well, you know you got 1,000 votes. What about the night of the election, and they come out with the results, and 500 people voted for you? See, we caught them. That's exposing voter fraud. We know we can prove ahead of time that you had 1,000 people voting. And if the numbers on election night come in less than that 1,000, all you have to do then is go around to your 10 people and get them to swear an affidavit that that is the way they voted.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, you got them for voter fraud.
Mm-hmm. We tried doing this in the caucuses in 2012, and it worked pretty well, actually, taking pictures, and it worked very well. It's a really good strategy, and we need to implement that even further here. And you're right, getting the Tea Party people together with the Liberty people, the Liberty Republican people, unfortunately here in this state, where we have a primary Republican and Democrats can only vote in the primaries. That's another thing we need to change down the road. We're working towards that goal as well. But a lot of the things that you're saying, I concur with 1,000%. It's getting everybody on board and getting everybody together, working towards
and engaged.
And sometimes it's daunting, but we're employing new strategies too, like social media. And this tool, internet radio. We want to be the media. We want to use our cameras whenever and wherever possible. I take pictures of my my tape when I do a preview of my votes at the voting booth. I've taken pictures before, and that's helped me in many different ways. So that's another thing that we can utilize with our cell phone and take a picture of our actual ballot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up social media because I had forgotten, but that is the key. Where I had talk radio, it was in its infancy, but I used it to build one big audience. Well, today, it's the social media networks. Folks, if you will tweet or Twitter or whatever you do, if you will use your Facebook, if you'll use email, I mean email everybody, Facebook. That's another thing about the book, Susie. Read the book, y'all. Read it two or three times. It's simple reading. But learn what it's teaching. Learn what it is teaching. And then get on the social media and tell what you think about the things you've learned. And you'll be amazed, Cindy, how many people, and I know you already know this, you'll be amazed when you get on the social media system and share what you've learned, as long as it's true and not some conspiracy thing. As long as it's true, you will be amazed how many people you find think just like you do or are worried about the same things you're worried about. And you spread the word. Spread the word. And how much does it cost to do tweeting, Cindy, or tweeting or Facebook, how much does that cost?
It's free.
And guess what?
Can you hear me?
That will win for you. That will win. Cindy, I'm going to bet you right now, and I'm kind of going out on a limb, but for me it's normal. If you will run your campaign doing as the book tells you, Michael Petro did just an incredible job. If you'll do that, you will win. Do you know that? Mathematically, you will win before the race is even run or before they even start counting ballots. How do you like that?
That's huge. I like it. I like it a lot. I'd like to be the vote on that commission that we need in my district and in this county, and I'd like to see, you know, many of our liberty minded folks winning their races too. So that's why I wanted to have you on here, is so that you can help others as well to win their races. And
I bet you're wondering, Cindy, I bet you're wondering, and probably so is your audience, how do I know? How can I guarantee victory? You were thinking that question, weren't you?
Yeah, it's a strong statement, Larry, really.
All right, let me tell you what our proof is. Our proof is that the Tea Party and your Freedom Party and, you know, all of this like-minded entity is so big that if it can get activated and motivated, it will take over the Republican Party. Now, don't believe me. Believe Karl Rove, Steve LaTourette, and Mitch McConnell. They know what I know, which is this election, this primary, is so important to them because they will either put away the Tea Party, hopefully forever, in their minds, or you know what happened, Cindy, you and all the others win, and you redefine the Republican Party. They know. That's why they're willing to gamble and lose. They're going against their base by saying they'll destroy and they'll crush. That's their base that they're talking that way about. But they have no choice because the Tea Party is that strong.
You said something to me on the phone before, a couple of days ago, when we first spoke about how somebody who wants to work against somebody will work harder than somebody who wants to or is working for somebody. And that hit home with me pretty hard because I saw how hard the establishment worked against me when I was chairman. Simply because I don't subscribe to their way of representation. They're not representing me anymore. The Republican Party left me a long time ago. But we've taken over in so many ways. And so I agree with you that you're right. It's just how do we get our people so angry at the Karl Rove and Steve LaTourette and Mitch McConnell that they want to work against them? I think that's more.
That's why I wrote the book, Cindy. Take the book, read it, pass it around to your friend. The book talks all about, let me just say this, guys. Cindy, you know about LaTourette, Mitch McConnell, and Karl Rove, and Boehner, and all of them. Susie, you know about them. But let me tell you another saying. In addition to the saying that, you know, no one will work as hard to get you elected that loves you as someone hates you will work to defeat you. All right, there's one thing, but there's another one. There's another one. And that is any time you hear somebody say, everybody, you've spotted a fool. You know, all the people around me might believe one way or another, but that sure ain't everybody. Mm-hmm. And so if, Cindy, more directly to answer your question, you think, we think, because we know about what LaTourette and this dastardly bunch of people are doing, we think everybody knows. And the people out there don't. They don't. Members of the Tea Party don't even know. So you must share with them the things that are in the book. And when you give them the book, and if they really read it, Cindy, when they understand what's being done to their rights, to conduct fair and free elections and to be able to participate in electoral process, when they learn what LaTourette and them are doing, it will light them up. You know, Cindy, mm-hmm. I told you, don't worry about your opponent. Don't run against your opponent. Don't run against whoever's name is on the ballot against you. Take every breath you have and every speech you make and identify the real opponent. The real opponent is LaTourette, McConnell, and Rove and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you fire them up. That's how mm-hmm. you make them mad. Americans don't like it when you steal something from them. And Americans always, always love the underdog more than this big old bully.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this race is exactly where it needs to be.
So the key is educating the masses on how the Republican Party is working against its own base. Really, truly, that is the key, at least in our realm.
Tell you something else you're going to do. Walk downtown, all of you. Walk downtown, Las Vegas or wherever. Go around, and I want you to look behind the counter at the local store. And you see that proud member of the Chamber of Commerce. Why don't you do a favor for yourself? Why don't you ask that member of the Chamber, ask that store owner or manager, did you know your national organization has pledged $50 million to defeat Tea Party candidates? You know, Mr. Jones, you spend a lot of money trying to get people to come into your business. As long as that's up on the wall, I'm not coming. and I guarantee they'll yank it down, and I guarantee they'll call their local chamber, and then the local chamber will start losing members, and then when they start losing members, you know what they'll do? They'll call the National Chamber of Commerce group, and you will shut off that money being used against us. You will. That's winning, folks. Winning, Cindy, means fighting. You've got to fight. Every one of us has to fight. There's got to be something, Cindy, you love or I love or we love so much that we're willing to die for. There's got to be. In our life, there's got to be something like that. And we just have to find it and use it. Now, if there's any other calls, I'm sorry, Wendy.
I don't know for sure. Let's see. It looks like a couple of people have been waiting a while, but my switchboard here might be misreading it. So let's see. It looks like they might even be here and be on. I have a 919 area code. Somebody waiting? Nope. Let's see.
I'm sorry. I probably talked over your callers and stuff. Please forgive me.
No, it doesn't look like anybody calling in wanted to come on. They're not raising their hands. They're listening, but they're not wanting to speak. So if you want to wrap up and tell us more about your book, where we can get your book, Larry.
I wanted to mention something real quick.
I'm sorry?
I wanted to mention something real quick to Cindy. Years ago, Larry taught us what was going to happen before Obama ever got elected. He laid out exactly what was going to happen, and he's been exactly right on everything that he said. Okay? So he knows what's going to happen. I mean, he's, I don't know how he knows, but he's some kind of guru.
Well, okay, so yeah. We're all going to win. All the liberty-loving, constitutional, Republican, conservative, libertarian-leaning Tea Partiers are going to win big this November, and we're going to make the establishment go away. That's what I hope is going to happen, too. I'll be optimistic.
Well, that's what you've got to make happen, Cindy. Make it happen. Want it so bad that there is nothing that will stop you from doing what's got to be done. And once again, you know, Susie was talking about guru or whatever. No, I'm not. I just know it. I know the business. I know the racket. I know what they think and how they think.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very, very... Just please remember, Cindy, victory is in your hand right now, and we need you. We need you to win and become the county commissioner. We need it. Because if we don't have you, we have no one fighting at the table for us. No one.
Well, that's already been proven. Yeah.
It's been proven that the hierarchy, that the you know, the Republican mainstream people or whatever you want to call them, the good suit club, it's already been proven that all they care about, folks, is they're keeping their job. They don't care about you. Mm-hmm. They don't care about me. Mm-hmm. They don't care about us. So I want you to do this. Everybody that could hear my voice, please, pick up a pencil or a pen, and you write down, Under Attack by Larry Nichols, LARRYNICHOLS, and go to createspace.com, createspace.com, like create an apple and let's go to outer space, createspace.com, and then type in my name and it will come up, and then get that book sent to you as quickly as you can. Read it and read it again and read it again until it's just a part of you. And when you do that, Cindy, you'll know what to do. The book tells you exactly what to do and how. It does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to get the
yes,
e-book and read it tonight.
I just got done reading it. Thank you for that. And, yeah, the e-book is on lulu.com, isn't it?
Yeah. So please, y'all, I want each one listening to me support Cindy. Cindy's taking a giant step. Running a political race is not child's play. And she has gotten in, and she's doing a great job. But she's up against some mighty powerful enemies. Never forget who the enemy is. It's LaJourette, Rove, and McConnell. They're the enemy. And as you tell your friends, another thing I say in the book, Cindy gets get people together, like four or five couples together, invite them to your home, and then just kind of like a study class, go through the book and talk about it out loud to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Learn.
Very good idea. If there is somebody hanging on, I'm going to bring them in for just a minute because that's all we have. If you don't mind,
you
let's see who's calling in. 919 area code, you're on the air. Somebody waiting? Hello?
Hello, yes.
Hi, you're on live with Cindy Lake and Larry Nichols. Caller from 919 area code. Okay. I'm sorry, we're almost out of time. We have a few more minutes. I did want to say thank you so much again to Larry Nichols for joining us tonight. And the book is Under Attack, How the Tea Party Can Fight Back and Win. And this doesn't only apply to Tea Party people. I hate to lump everybody under that label. It's everybody who's anti-establishment. Let's put it that way. Let's put it that way because we've got so many different factions here, not necessarily the Tea Party people, but we've got the, you know, the liberty, libertarian, constitutional Republicans also fighting the establishment who don't necessarily call themselves Tea Partiers. But we're all together in this, and I agree with you. I love the book. Thank you so much for taking an interest in this race. And my race is actually, I am running for, in case anybody didn't know this, for Harry Reid's son's former seat, Harry Reid's former seat. So it's an important race, and I have spent the past year or so at the commission. I know I want to see my vote on that board, and so do all liberty-loving, freedom-loving people want to see their vote in representation. So put yourself out there, go vote, help a candidate. Tell your friends and family, get the book. Thanks, Susie, for joining us and introducing me to Larry. Yes, please go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, that's your wish. I hope you will let me be a part of your campaign.
Oh, absolutely. I welcome you. Thank you so much. I appreciate all the help I can get. And we will see you back here next week. And thank you, Larry. Larry, you're a big part of my campaign. I'm so glad that we met. Thank you, Susie. And I will talk to you all soon. Thanks, listeners and callers, for being here with me. Freedom Talk with Cindy Lake. Up next is Proof Negative. His show starts in a few minutes. Thanks again for joining me. I'll see you next week, Tuesday the 29th. Have a great week, everybody.